Okay.
So here we are. I guess the end of... I think tonight will be the last night of Hilchos Geirus. It actually is, assuming we get up to what I hope to get up to, it's actually a pretty nice conclusion to the to these halachos. So last week we started. I think we read through the Gemara and the Beis Yosef here. But just to recap, right, the first page on those sources is from the Beis Yosef on page Reish, but all you might have your own Beis Yosef. The... where there's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rush on the top of the page about whether a ger is permitted to judge dine mamonos. Rashi seems to assume that he could, that a ger is permitted to be a dayan for dine mamonos. And the Rush quotes Rashi and then says, I don't think so. When the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to imply that a ger is permitted to judge dine mamonos, that only means that he can judge the dine mamonos, the monetary law of a fellow ger, but he wouldn't be able to judge other mamonos issues. So that's what the Rush says. So then the Gemara, the Rush says, so if so, so why is it that, right, why do we need a special pasuk to teach that he can't be part of a chalitza at all? I mean, he's not allowed to be part of any dine Torah except for a din Torah having to do with gerim and monetary law. And the Rush gave a few answers. Number one is maybe I would think that he could do a geris chalitza, which you gotta like kind of work a little bit out about how that could be. You know, how could you actually have a chalitza of a ger? But that's one possibility. Or Kiblu Alayhu, that they accepted him as being the judge, meaning that would that be okay? I mean, just as a monetary, so, and Rush actually says that in monetary law, Kiblu Alayhu, that if there are regular Jews, meaning, you know, regular Jews who accept him as a convert, so that would be permissible. So if so, what is he being excluded from? So he's being excluded from Kfiya. He's being excluded from forcing people to show up in Beis Din. And that seems to be that the way the halacha concludes here, that the eger is permitted to be a dayan for monetary law. So long as he doesn't force anybody to show up, as long as he's only acting in a optional in a manner of an arbitrator rather than as a dayan with all the power of a dayan. As we see, as we comment here, Kehi de Perakacholitz, Rava Achshere l'Rav Mari bar Rachel, that Rava permitted Rav Mari bar Machel, I'm about, 10 lines from the end of the simon here in the Beis Yosef, that he permitted someone named Rav Mari bar Rachel. Why is he Rav Mari bar Rachel? So the impression that one gets is that his father was not Jewish, or there was something wrong with his father, and therefore he's mentioned by the mother and not by the father. So we know you before say the Bavel, to be in charge of something in Bavel. And even though it says that he shouldn't be allowed to, they were said he was permitted because it wasn't that big a deal. So Alma lo be'ina mikarabachacha el b'mile desrara v'chafia. So we see that this idea that you require mikarabachacha are for dinim of srara and kafia. That where you either have some kind of authority, srara, or where you're enforcing some sort of kafia, which is forcing somebody. And there, that has to be, as the pasuk says, Bekerav Yisrael. B'chein Iker. And that's the halacha. B'chein Mashma Behi Dechol Akshem Ladun Liyisui Ger Demashma B'stama Afilo Dun Yisrael B'nichanami Had the Yisrael Chumifshalei L'chalitza. And that fits in, that we would permit him to be a judge, but we wouldn't allow him to have chalitza, etc. Okay, so that is that seems to be the way the halacha is brought, that he is permitted to be chosen to be a dayan, but he is not permitted to be forcefully a dayan, nor is he entitled, nor is he available to enforce any type of srara, to enforce any type of authority over the rest of the people. Okay, so what does that mean? What is included in that amount of authority? So for that, you can turn to the Rambam. So that is page 2 here. I realize my Rambam, not sure. I think my Rambam is buried under a pile of books, so I'm going to look here as well. This is in Hilchos Melach in Perek Aleph Halacha Dal. So the Rambam is discussing what you need in order to be a Melach. So in Halacha Dalid, It says, "Ema midem melech mikal gerim afilu achar kamadoros achetia imo mi Yisrael." That one is not permitted to establish a melech from the kihila of gerim, even after several generations, until he has a mother as a Jew. So some raise the question about, wait, what about David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech came from Rus. So, okay. But Shneamar lotucha lates alecha ish nachri asher lo achachahu, that you cannot place upon you an ish nachri that is not from your brothers. V'lo l'malchus, and then, fine, so that's in order to be a king. And then he says, v'lo l'malchus bilvad, and this doesn't just apply to being a king, el l'chol sraros shebi Yisrael, that any type of sraros of Yisrael, lo sar tzva, lo sar chamishim, o sar asara, I mean, it sounds like it can't be a general, afilu mamuna al emes hamayim shemachalik bimena l'sados, and even a guy in charge of the canal that goes from different to different fields, he's not allowed to be there. He doesn't even have to say about a dayan or a nasi that he shouldn't be, except for a Jew. That any time you're going to place somebody of authority, he should only be mikarev achecha, as opposed to coming from a family of gerim. Just to, while we're on the page, and it will become a little bit relevant later on, if you look in Halacha A, it goes on the same thing as Ema Midin Isha B'Malchus. That's the same reason a woman can't be a king. Shemar Melech V'lo Malka, V'chein Kol Masina Shebi Yisrael, Ema Midin Behem Ela Ish. And so too, all Masimos, all appointments amongst the Jewish people, Ema Midin Behem, you shouldn't be choosing them except for from men, I think the Rambam concludes, that are Mikarev Achecha, from the brotherhood. So, from the Beis Yosef, seems to talk about, based on what we've learned, the Beis Yosef seems to talk about being, that a ger is not permitted to have a position of authority, and then if you look up in the Rambam seems to tell you what are these positions of authority. It seems to include not just the king, not just the dayan, but all positions of authority within the Jewish people. Okay, so that sounds like that would be what a ger is excluded from. However, okay, yeah, we're good. Okay, so
I'm trying to understand the maybe you don't want to get into it, but the ger is his mother is Jewish. Let's take the case of David, for example. So his great grandmother, whatever, was a convert, but her daughter, her son, was already allowed to be king or not.
Yeah. So I had trouble figuring this out, what exactly this is. We'll see. There's a base hill on the page of Shulchan Aruch that raises this, although I can't say that I have a clear understanding of what the answer is. Okay? So let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll see what it says in the base hill, which is on the page, at least the page of my Shulchan Aruch. We'll see if it's on the page of yours. So we look at the very end. It's in Reish Samech Tes Sif Yud Aleph. So it is on the source sheet there. L'inyan din ger kasher ladun dini maminos, that with regards to a ger, we permit his kasher to judge dini maminos, v'hu shetehe imu mi Yisrael, so long as his mother is Jewish. Okay, now the Rambam doesn't seem to have made that distinction within the Rambam. It could be that some make it for him, but the Shulchan Aruch says that if his mother is Jewish, that would be sufficient. He made that distinction? Achetiye imu mi Yisrael, until his mother is from the Jewish people. Alright, okay, you're right. So, fine. So, dini mamos v'hushate imu mi Yisrael. Aval, imein imu mi Yisrael, but if his mother is not from the Jewish people, pasal, ladun es Yisrael. Aval l'chavero ger dun, but to his friend who is a ger, he could judge. Ulchalitza pasul afil l'chalitza's gerim atchiye aviv imo Yisrael. But for chalitza, that he would be prohibited to do atchiye until his father and mother are from the Jewish people. So this is a Okay, so what's interesting is that here we are in Hilchos Geirus, and the Shulchan Aruch only records, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't take the next step, right? The Shulchan Aruch only records this issue with regards to being a dayan, with regards to being a judge. He doesn't then go and, like the Beis Yosef does, Beis Yosef is written by the same person, right? He doesn't go on to take the next step of, oh, and by the way, all positions of Sarara would then be a problematic for a ger as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva will pick up on that and try to figure out what do we do in scenarios where the Beis Yosef quotes something and it seems to assume it one way and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote that halacha. What does that mean? But if you take a look on the page, there is a commentary called the Beis Hillel. I don't know who the Beis Hillel is. I'm not sure. On your page, he's probably, I would guess, like in the Hagos Vaharos on the bottom. Right, if you have the newer Shulchan Aruchs, so right, like where we find Dugal Miravavas, like on the bottom of the page, are sort of additional things. So there should be something called the Beis Hillel.
Yeah, I think it's the Yud Aleph. The very tenth of the Yud Aleph. These notes says Beis Hillel.
Ah, okay.
It's kind of a long piece, right?
Yeah. So do the first half. Fine. Oh, okay. I don't know. It's not that long in my edition. The letters are much smaller, so it doesn't look that long. So he says, "Va'ayin b'sma, b'choshen mishpat simen zayin." The same halacha appears in b'choshen mishpat simen zayin, because that's where hilchos dayanim are. So shekasu v'shem haRambam midiksiv som tasim alach haMelech, right? V'lafuke ger, v'lafuke zera zaro degerim, aser b'chol sishimos. That this would be to exclude a ger, and even from the descendants of gerim. They would be usher for these positions. V'im kein l'fize kashmi ma dekasu atosu sechasota agripas hamelech shepershu da agripas haya usher lios melech eliim kein haya aviv v'imu miYisrael. That by the discussion of agripas hamelech, right? Agripas hamelech read, the Gemara tells us, read the hakel, and then he started crying because he's not really the king, and then they said, no, you're really one of us, and it's unclear whether it was Khanifa or not. But they said that he's usher to be the king unless both his father and mother are Jewish. So the dafkal inyan dinhu imo umikol shekein aviv aval lemelach tzarach shei dafka aviv imo. That it might be just with regards to a judge that we require the mother to be Jewish. Umikol shekein aviv aval lemelach tzarach shei dafka aviv imo. How do you have vav mem chaf shin? You have umikol shekein.
The same abbreviation.
Okay. Dafkalin dinhu imo. I'm not sure what it stands for then. But for a king, that's dafka aviv imo. That he dafka needs the mother and the father. So v'kashu l'fizeh. So if that's the case, David HaMelech sheba min ha'av mi Yisrael, aval lo mi imo mi Yisrael. Right. So David HaMelech traces himself back. His father is from the from the Jews, but his mother is not. Shayim in Rus, Zara Zara, because he's a descendant of Rus. Now, he's a descendant of Rus, fourth generation, through his father. I don't quite get this, but V'im kein Echaya David HaMelech, why was he the king? So it doesn't go anywhere. All right, Halo Tzarech Shehei Dafka Aviv V'imu Mi'Yisrael, K'nizkei L'Hakshos L'fi Divrei Tosos. It was Eber Sheva Hikshim in Rechavam, Ben Shlomo, Shehaya Min Namah HaMonis. That's a tougher question. Right, Chavam was the son actually had a mother who was a Gioris. How was he became? And he leaves as a Tzarechim. And he suggests the Kesef Mishnah, it was on the page that we showed there, that it could be that that really only the father needs to be the king, and the mother needs to be Jewish. The Bishar Dinim Imo L'chud Mahani, right? Because by other things, all you need is the mother to be good. With regards to a king, Tzarech Dafka Aviv Imo. Then you would specifically need the father and the mother, but in this case the mother was Jewish, so I guess that would answer the question. Not sure. I'm not sure where this comes with, but the thing that A, I want to point out the questions, but B, we see that there then becomes distinctions. I mean, even though we're saying, and kind of comparing all of these things together, right? We're comparing both the melech and right? The Rambam put the melech and the judge. He put all these people together. When it comes to the poskim seem to start making distinctions between different types of srara, different types of authority amongst the Jewish people. Okay. So that then leads to next is the tshuva of Rav Moshe. So on that source sheet, hello, it's Michael Hull that's on here. Talk to him today. Hi. What?
Oh, just saying hi.
Hi, yes. So there. If you look in the chat box, there is a source sheet. It's all in Hebrew. that's what we got for now. So. On page number, what do we got there? On page number 4, so you have a tshuva here from Rav Moshe. Now, this is from, am I in the right? There we go. So, if you notice, it says Simen Chaf Vav. Now, Simen Chaf Vav, this is from Chelek Ches of the Igros Moshe. So Chelek Ches was published after Rav Moshe passed away. And if you look there by the star says, Odos Tshuvazu Ayin Bakdama Daf 3 B'dibar Maschel Bizman Shemaran. So he says, look in the introduction, it'll give you some instructions for this tshuva. And in that introduction, he records that that probably, I think, who's the Machaber? Right, Mordechai Tendler. That the grants were there for this. I mean, this tshuva was sort of written by Rav Moshe, wrote part of it, but it was already at the end of his life. And they filled in some of the details. How do you know what Rav Moshe wrote and what they filled in? So if you look at this tshuva, you'll see some of the letters, there's a different font size. Some are a little bit, not much. If I was putting this volume together, I would have made a bigger distinction in the font size. But there's some pages, some of the letters are bigger than others. So the bigger letters were written by Rav Moshe, but the grandchildren felt that it was just unintelligible to publish it that way, and therefore decided to add in some of the details here. So if you look here, the question that he asks is, "Be'inyan minui ger l'rosh yeshiva u'mashkiach? Can you have a ger as a rosh yeshiva or as a mashkiach? Why? What's this question based on? That is that a problem? Is that an issue with regards to srara? Right? Those are both positions of authority, and we seem to be excluding gerim from positions of authority. So." The first paragraph here and second paragraph kind of goes to what we learned already. So if you look, but towards the end of that first paragraph, it's the I have an underlined thing where it says Umash Shalu. The first one on the line is Umash Shalu Husker B'Shulchan Aruch. Right, so he quotes that Beis Yosef. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch, but he says Umash Shalu Husker B'Shulchan Aruch. This halacha. That Rav Moshe seems that the Rambam seemed to extend the laws this prohibition not just to be for converts but even to be as a judge but even to be what's it called but even for any position of authority it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch right V'niska rak legabe psul ladun al yidei kviya because there it just says that you're not allowed to be a judge that's going to have the powers of enforcement. Right, so it's a question. Vaklal sheheskeres biyad hamalachi. Now the rules that as are listed in the Yad Malachi. What is the Yad Malachi? So you may recall, I guess a year ago already, at least, when we learned the laws of psak halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Yad Malachi is who codifies the different rules in the Shulchan Aruch about when the Shulchan Aruch quotes a halacha and then says v'yesh omrim. Or sometimes Shulchan Aruch will quote it as some say this and some say that. Or sometimes Shulchan Aruch will... So he gives you the rules, what all those formulations mean. in terms of what the actual psak is. So he also mentions, he says, Shimniskar beveis Yosef havi kachras klalis. Lifsok l'chol hamakomos v'shenhigu b'chol hamakomos kavi osan apsak. He says something that is mentioned in the Beis Yosef, that's the real psak. Aval kishlo pasuk beis Yosef halacha el b'sefer hakatzer daitu shlo yichayv osu psak el k'eretz hamarav levad. But if it's only mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, that's only a halacha for Eretz Yisrael or something like that. But the real Makoi, his real Piskei halacha, is what's found in the Beis Yosef. This is in the Beis Yosef, right? Uveis Yosef hevi Yisrael limnos ger l'srara, right? Aval nekudos elu einam nogim le'etzem nidoneinu mishum shivada shechein halacha she'asul limnos ger l'shem srara. He says, but anyways, these details aren't really relevant to us because that's definitely the halacha. It's not definitely the halacha. There are those that don't necessarily quote this idea of the Rambam. But Rav Moshe is going ahead with the assumption that the Rambam is right, that any position of authority we would keep converts out of it. So then he asks, okay, so now what about different positions? Can you then have a ger be a malami, be a teacher, or a magichir, or a mashkiach, or a filu rosh yeshiva? So he says, and he says, there is a source of Shemaya v'Avtalion, who the Gemara implies were both Geirim. He says, yeah, we're not going to bring a proof from that. That's, who knows what the scenario was over there. But now the bottom paragraph. He says, V'alamaisa liish leida, sham mitzvah shel v'ahavta mes ha-ger, mechayemes v'sanu l'karvum l'hakka b'chol nyanam e'ilu. He says, first of all, we have a mitzvah called v'ahavta mes ha-ger, and that requires us to attempt to be makil in these halachos, right? So to start barring gerim from various jobs, right? You have to be very careful before you go ahead and do that. So v'lefichach achar yishuv gadol, after a lot of thought, nira she'ein lahachshiv misaros elu b'tkufaseinu ke'inyun shel ma'aseh sra'ah. He says, I don't think these positions are really positions of authority. The ikar tafkid shel yeshiva hu limud l'talmidim k'sheim rotzim. He says the main job of a Rosh Yeshiva is to teach students when they want to be taught. Umashi ish koach lamanalim Rosh Yeshivas al tamidim l'salkom ushlo l'kabelosom l'chachtil v'chadome ein ze elkemo sror shabal habayis al po'alav. He says in the fact that a Rosh Yeshiva can decide who comes into the yeshiva and who he kicks out of the yeshiva, so that's not a position of authority in the community. That's like a boss. Right? He's a boss. He owns the yeshiva. It's his yeshiva. And he can decide who comes and who goes. She'ein ze me'in minu ilasurka. That's not really an appointment of authority. And therefore, these positions are positions, and we're not going to treat them as svara. Which, by the way, I think this is this idea that they are permitted to teach and permitted to be Rosh Yeshiva. That's why YU lets Gerim into the Smicha program, because there are plenty of positions that would be okay for a rabbinic positions for it would be okay for a Ger to fill. We'll get to Shul Rabbis soon. So he says, "V'ein lidmos zel l'mashakas b'gros Moshe chelik beisim v'mdav b'inyan minoy isha l'hashkiach l'hakshirim davi minoy shel svara." Right, I do discuss elsewhere, and I put on the Meir Makomos this issue. We'll see it with regards to appointing a woman to be a mashkiach. Right, what about a mashkiach? Is a mashkiach considered a position of srara? Right, a mashkiach in a store. Why? Like, who is a more powerful position? A Shmuel Kamenetsky or the guy who oversees Star of David? Right? Or who has a more powerful position in the community? So Rav Moshe says, well, let's see. Technically, a mashkiach actually has perhaps more authority. Why is that? Because the hasam hu minoy lasos neged ratzon bal habayis. Because the job of the mashkiach is to paskin against the bal habayis, right? That the owner of the store wants to do X, and the mashkiach says, not so fast. You better do Y. Right, al pi koach haTorah shetzivanu lahachel dvarim ksheirim. Right, he says to the owner, not so fast. I'm in charge here of what's kosher and what's not, and therefore I have a position of authority. Okay, kama resh kore b'kedushin, etc. V'zehu, skipping the little pages here, v'zehu svaraso, on the third line. That's his job, right? Lamod ala mishamer shi'iskayim dine ha-Torah, u'mimino izeh yesh lo koach lasos neged ritzon in the balabais v'lchein chashuv svara. And because of that appointment, he can act against the balabas, the owner of the store, and therefore that's considered svara. Now, we could pause here for a moment and go on to the next tshuva, right? This tshuva. So what does tshuva say? This tshuva said, what are we going to limit a ger from doing? So we'll limit him from. We're not going to limit him from being a rosh yeshiva. What about a mashkiach? So it seems like he's asked here specifically about being a rosh yeshiva. So he says, yeah, it's not like a mashkiach. Mashkiach actually has srara. Mashkiach actually has authority. Although the truth is, Rav Moshe sort of backs out of that in this tshuva about woman being a mashkiach. So in that, where did it go here? There we go. So on page number, what do we got here? Page 7. Sideways, sorry about that. So on page number 7, Rav Moshe was asked about a woman being a mashkiach. And it's a specific case. It's not just simply can a woman be a mashkiach. The scenario is that a woman's husband was a mashkiach, and the husband passed away. And now she's a widow, and she doesn't have another source of income. So can she take over her husband's hashkacha? That's the shaila that was asked to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe, there's really two halves of the tshuva. Both of them are important, but only one of them is relevant to us. The first half, he discusses can a woman be used as a mashkiach in general? Meaning, forget about the authority aspect, but do they have the ne'amanus? Do we believe them for that? And there are indications that it's a problem. In fact, that it's a bit of an issue. I mean, the quick answer is, what do you mean? You eat in your kitchen, so why would you not be permitted to rely on a woman as a mashkiach in a restaurant? What would be the difference? So we don't have to go into what the source is, but this is actually amongst the first shilas that I spoke with Rav Schechter about when we moved here, because at that time we started having volunteers do the Erev check. So he asked him about women being, it's the same question as, can a woman be the checker for the Erev? Right, it's the same issue. He paskin, yes, he paskin that they are allowed to, but it is subject to a dispute in Tosos. But our aspect is the second half of the tshuva, where he says, okay, does a woman, what about a woman having, does this mean that she therefore has authority? Does she have is considered a position of sarara that we would exclude women from, just as we exclude women rabbis, for whatever reason that would be. So he says, so if you look at that last paragraph, he says, Aval nira shlema shabiarti bezeh, shashkacha nechshav minoi hu mishum da avodasohu. That this hashkacha, that being a kosher supervisor, is somebody who is considered to have an appointment, neged rat, plus he could act neged balabayas, right? Yesh eitza lekayim gam shitas Rambam. But perhaps there is an idea, a way that we could fulfill this shitas Rambam and perhaps avoid this issue. How would we do that? Shehitiyas chora meharav, shirak harav yeh bailim shala, ubalabayas yashle maskar avar hashkacha leharav. That you put that rather than her being the supervisor, there should be a rabbi who's in charge of the supervisor. And this might sound a little strange, but that's how it all works today, right? The mashkichim in Philadelphia aren't just their own mashkichim, right? They're mashkichim who work for the Keystone K, right? The community kashrus or something like that, right? So they are working for the bottom. But it could be that when this tshuva was written, that wasn't necessarily the way things worked, right? You had stores, and the stores had somebody who said they're the mashkiach, and that's the way they functioned, right? It wasn't necessarily like it was an organization overseeing it. So Rav Moshe says, so this is the way to do it. Have a rav be the person who is in charge, therefore, and pay the rabbi, and the rabbi will then pay her. And that way, she, I'm not sure the monetary arrangement is as important as when any time that she has to stand up to the Balabais, she just tells the rabbi, and the rabbi stands up for the Balabais. Meaning, it's rather than her being the one who's making the decisions as to what's an issue, it's her job to be the eyes of whoever is giving the supervision, right? So the rabbi overseeing it, it's his job, right? Which is most of the way it works today. I mean, even though Hashkach Mashgich may have to be on the job and perhaps sometimes stop something from happening, they will then call me, in the case of Philadelphia, or other places, or at least they're supposed to, in order to figure out what exactly is an issue and how exactly to resolve it. I mean, anything beyond just stopping it and being the eyes and recognizing something suspicious, the actions to take afterwards have to come from the advice of of the rabbanim of the community, not just them acting on their own. So Rav Moshe says, if that's the case, they're not considered tzrarim. They're not considered to be, that's not considered to be a position of authority, and therefore it would be permissible, A, for a woman to have that position, and B, for a ger to have that position, and that we have. We do have gerim that act as mashgichim, and in fact, the Star K, for that reason, offers mashgicha courses, right? Offers courses for women to learn how to be proper supervisors. Now, just to finish off that tshuva, right? So what about being a shul rabbi, though? So Rav Moshe here seems to say maybe yes, right? He says, "V'amusag shel sraver shenizgar be'igros Moshe choshen mishpat chelik bin olgai siluk rav, havi musag acher mehasrara hanidrusha l'isra lotasim alecha, that she'enu machmas sraver dekafiyah asura beger, el machmas sraver dekavod dekhaivina linhog bo kavod." I'm not going to go, the tshuva is on the Maor Makomos, and it might be considered self-serving for me to go through it in depth, because there Rav Moshe pretty much says that it's prohibited to ever get rid of a rabbi, even if his contract runs out. But I'm just saying in theory, I'm not, whatever, I mean, you can see it inside and see what he says. Thank you, Michael, for the clap. But Rav Moshe actually is saying that doesn't necessarily mean the rabbi is a position of srara like this type of authority. It just means that that's an issue of kavod that the Rav has. Rav Moshe in general, by the way, is on the extreme of all worker issues about you're not allowed to fire a teacher in a school. Rav Moshe is on that side, not just for rabbinic positions, but even in secular positions as well. Rav Moshe is, I think, on the side generally of that you continue on unless there's a just cause to get rid of somebody. So that is Rav Moshe's tshuva with regards to this halacha. And therefore, so Rav Moshe actually here seems to say that they could actually be Rabbi Bishul. I'm not sure that's accepted. I don't think there are too many gerim that have positions as shul rabbanim. Okay, so one more thing. Well, Shemaya Vavtalia and Rav Moshe quoted earlier, who were Gerim, or at least the Gemara says they were descendants of Gerim, but Rav Moshe there kind of shrugs and says, you can't bring a proof from them. That's like, before Hillel and Shammai. Like, that's just, like, who knows what was going on at that time. There are others who were talked about being the descendants of, I think Rav Meir is the descendant of Haman. There are some lineage issues there. And in fact, that Gemara, the Gemara we quoted before, where Rav Yehuda appointed somebody, Mari Bar Rachel. So the thought is that his father was not Jewish. But of course, then it wouldn't make him a ger. So, okay, that's not the best answer. But even so, the being in the Gemara doesn't necessarily mean you had a position of srara. I mean, some did, right? The Nesiim obviously did, but that was a lineage thing anyways. And probably of the Amorayim, there were those who were Rosh Yeshiva, Rav, Shmuel, Rava, but not all of them were. Right? Not all of them were necessarily running things.
Some were workers and shopkeepers.
Right. Right. I'm not sure there are too many Gerim that are Amorayim. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So one more Shaila that then is asked then. So we mentioned before that, and it's in Shulchan Aruch here, that a ger is certainly permitted to judge cases of gerim. That if there are gerim who have monetary disputes amongst each other, so then certainly a ger would be permitted to be their dayan, would be permitted to be a judge for them. So there is, Rav Shechter here has a discussion in the Sefer Ginas Egos, which was his third Sefer, has a discussion about ger, can a ger be on the based, a gerus based in, right? So that's a little bit different, right? A ger, it seems from the Gemara, cannot judge dina nefashos, even of gerim, meaning if there's a ger who is accused of killing somebody, so a ger would not be permitted to be on their based in. But he would be able to judge their monetary case. So this is maybe in the middle. What about doing a gerus? Can a ger be on the beis din for a gerus? So I caught today Rabbi Michal Zilberman, who has a bunch of shirim online for Hilchos Gerus, because I think he gives the Hilchos Gerus course for Yeshiva University Smicha students. So he has, like, every year is on YU Torah. In addition to that, he's also the Gerus coordinator for the Rabbinical Council of America. And somebody who I, you know, a friend of mine, has some Philadelphia connections also. But anyways, so he has a shiur on this topic. So if you want to know a little bit more, you can select there. But he opens the shiur by saying that a couple of years in the Beis Din, they realized that certain RCA back in the good old days, before the RCA Beis Din started kind of taking control of Geirus, it used to just be any rabbi would then take, you know, two of his friends, and they would be a beis din for gerus, and they would convert somebody. And if you were a member of the RCA, it was sort of approved as being an RCA gerus, and that would be accepted in Israel. And that then changed, I'm getting old already, I guess around 15 years ago, that changed. So they realized in the RCA beis din that there was a certain beis din that was acting, and two of the dayanim were actually gerim. And they were, so it became an issue. Okay, not only is it a shaila going forward, but it's a shaila going backwards, right? Are those gerim which they converted, are they approved as gerim? So Rav Shechter quotes here, the end of this, Rav Shechter actually was machmir on the shaila 100%, but the beis din was not. The beis din was machmir l'chachila, pater b'diavad. But here Rav Shechter is describing why one would be machmir. And he digs up, he says, V'ra'isi b'sefer Shalmei Shmuel. Who wrote the Sefer Shalmei Shmuel? Rav Shmuel Leib Yalub. From, can you see who that is? Where that's from? Me? Syracuse. He was the Rav in Syracuse in the early 1900s. Rabbi Zilberman in the shir I listened to quickly today mentioned that his daughter is more famous than he is. Was his daughter won a Nobel Prize in physics? I don't know. Sheldon, you're an expert in... Okay, there you go. So her father... What?
She was at Einstein at some point.
Okay. So her father has a tshuva where he writes... Shadaik mil shonosh rashi the kedushin al das hagemara shama the ger tzarech shlosha mishpat ksivbe, that there is a rashi that says that a ger requires three. That's the gemara, and the rashi comments gimel yisraelim, three yisraelim. So Rav Yalom says, aha, shekavanas alomer yisrael velo gerim. Right? What is Rashi? Why did Rashi say three yisraelim? He must mean three yisraelim and not gerim. And even Rashi, who holds that a ger can judge a ger in dini nefashos, here, the beis din is not a beis din on a ger, right? A beis din is not functioning as a judge for this guy. Rather, beis din is what el kielu dunim avor klal Yisrael. It's rather these the beis din is judging on behalf of klal Yisrael. Whether they're going to accept them, meaning when they're judging a monetary case of gerim. So what are they doing? They're judging these gerim. Here they're judging on behalf of klal Yisrael towards these gerim. He says, they don't actually paskin anything. Rather, they're doing a action of beis din. Right? They're sort of a they're fig they're I'm not sure what the word is. They are functionaries on behalf of the Jewish people. He says, and how do we understand this? So I see we're starting to run out of time. But he says, the Mishpat L'Kayim Adavar Agir Samachem Agir Hagon Rav Yeshua Mikutna. See what Rav Yeshua Mikutna says. Sheba Emes Yish Mokum L'Hatpas. He asks two questions. He says, our original Geirus, our original four, the original paradigm of Geirus comes from the Jews at Har Sinai. He says, Jews at Har Sinai, we don't see any evidence that there was a Beis Din. That's A. And B, how did Geirus work then? Geirus worked because of the presence of the Shechina. So he says, if that's our paradigm of Geirus, so A, why don't we need the Shechina present today, whatever that means, and B, why didn't they need a Beis Din? And Rav Shechter, and folks from Rav Shua Mikutna, and I think Rav Salavechik develops this idea, and I think Rabbi Zilberman quoted this Rav Shua Mikutna and says that Rav Shechter is embellishing it somewhat, but the answer is that these two questions answer each other. How do we resolve, what do three Dayanim represent? It represents the presence of the divine presence. It represents the divine presence. That's what's going on when the three Dayanim get together. That's sort of and therefore it is reenacting to an extent. It's reenacting Maimon Har Sinai, right? You're establishing the presence of Hashem by having the three Dayanim there, and therefore bringing this person tachas kanfei Hashchina under the divine presence. So therefore, Shachter suggests, he says, okay, so if that's the case, so then we understand why you would require why a ger would not be permitted to be on a Beis Din of Gerim, on a Beis Din for Gerus. He says also that's why you can't force it to have, I guess it's some other details as well. But that is, so that is the conclusion. So I guess that can conclude our thoughts on Gerus as well, right? And with this image, that there's a lot of technical aspects as well, but at the end of the day, it is people hoping to come tachas kanfei Hashchina, to come under the divine presence, and that's what is being represented when the Beis Din gets together, when the Beis Din gathers to oversee this. So, alright, I guess we'll stop here, and Mirsa Hashem, next week, pick up with the beginning of Hilchos Sefer Torah. That's more of a svara. It's not really a raya as much as a svara. It's not a proof as much as a svara. The proof from this review is this rav from Syracuse who made the diak in Rashi, that Rashi, when it came to the laws of Geirus, made a point of saying that, you see, it says a basin of Yisraelim, and he says as opposed to Geirim. He says, now the truth is, he didn't necessarily have to say that, right? You could say, it's a basin of Yisraelim as opposed to smuchim, as opposed to people that actually had real smicha or something like that. I mean, you could make a case that it means something else, but that's he quotes from this Rav, and then Rav Shechter develops then and says it could be that idea would be based on this, right? Based on the idea that you would need this Shechina, and that would only be represented from the as so to speak original. The people that are able to stand as Dayanim as well, full-fledged Dayanim.
Another question would be,